Thank you, Jesus, that we can come together. Thank you, Jesus, that there's no one have to standing out there to keep us from coming together. Thank you for your blessings on this wonderful country. And Lord, I thank you for wonderful ladies in our life. Lord, as I say so often, it is great that we have these special days to wake us up, to let us see and let us remember and let us bless somebody that's been special in our life. Now, Lord, I know that isn't always the case. But, Lord, I ask you to bless those families as well today. Lord, let us hear from you. Lord, use your word to teach us today. And Jesus, use me as your vessel. And I give you praise and I give you all adoration in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, please. All right, I want to give you some one-liners here about Mother's Day. See how good you are. What kind of flowers are best for Mother's Day?
Roses. The pretty kind. Whatever she likes.
Nobody got it. Mums. What kind of flowers do yellow jacket mothers like for Mother's Day? Begonias. Why is the house so neat on Mother's Day? Because Mom spent all day Saturday cleaning it. What's the best thing a new mom can get for Mother's Day? That's it. First one. A long nap. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17. Shout and holler when you're there. First Kings, page 463. Are you there? We're going to start with verse number 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." Verse 12, so she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Yes. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Today on Mother's Day, I thought we'd focus on a woman that Scripture says she possessed a great faith. This woman didn't necessarily begin with such a strong faith, but she certainly ends up being recognized as a woman of faith. Whoever you are, no matter what your level of faith is, to become a person of great faith, you always begin your journey with less faith. That may seem obvious to you now that I say it, but in many ways, we expect that the appropriate amount of faith will just be there when we need it. Amen? However, there is always room for a growing faith. Amen. A growing faith. God declares in the Scripture that we grow in faith through the hearing of His Word. And we see this truth in this passage this morning. The land is in the middle of a great drought. The drought was predicted by Elijah himself. Elijah had been in isolation at Kereth Ravine, which is a small tributary river that tied into the River Jordan. And in verse 8, the word of the Lord comes to him. It directs him to go to Zarephath. This particular region is now considered Lebanon. Now, the prophet Elijah has experienced some things. He's been around, right? He's not a novice. So obviously, he must have known somehow, some way, that life had been a struggle and life was going to continue to be difficult. Kereth, where he was staying, means separated. That's what the name means, and it depicts Elijah's situation perfectly. He was separated. He was alone. He was without human contact for an extended period of time. Then God sends Elijah to Zarephath, which means fiery trial. Fiery trial. And the name perfectly depicts what he is about to encounter. Actually, we could say that God calls him out of the frying pan and into the fire. Have you ever been in such a situation? Amen. So you can imagine Elijah's thoughts as he's walking to Zarephath. He might say, "Holy smoke, what in the world's God got planned for me now? He's got something planned where he's sending me." Unfortunately, God doesn't give him much to go by. He is skimpy on details. In verse 9, it says, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So, does the woman have a name? What will she be wearing? What is her address? Does she know I'm coming? Do I meet her this morning? What if I'm late? Does she have a criminal record? Has God ever done that to you, folks? Life is moving along, you're doing your thing, and bam, out of the blue, something hits you, and you exclaim, God, what is going on? But no details come along. No details come along. Now, just think about the prophet Jonah. In Jonah's case, God doesn't give many details because Jonah might chicken out and not do as God asked, right? But Elijah, he's different. He isn't like Jonah. He's bold. He's confident. He's strong. He's faithful. Elijah is a man who has done whatever God has asked of him. So why the lack of details? Why the lack? Sometimes God is silent because most of us are like Jonah. We chicken out. We will refuse to walk in faith, especially when we know something difficult is on the horizon. Other times God is silent because he wants his awesome power revealed slowly. Slowly. Then there are occasions when we need to wait to intensify the impact of the work of God in our lives. And still there are those times when the wait will make us more ready to receive the Word of God. Now, here's the truth that can help us. If we have the details in advance, then we wouldn't be walking in faith. Would we? So Elijah must walk in faith with minimal details of his Zarephath, the fiery trial. Now at the gate, he finds our woman of faith. I just love what happens here. When Elijah arrives at the gate, there's the widow, front and center. Front and center. He doesn't even have to look in the phone book. No internet searches. He doesn't have to ask around. There she is. You and I always want the details of our circumstances up front. But God supplies the details as we walk in faith, as we step out and arrive where God has directed us. We will then find the details standing right in front of us. So here's this woman gathering sticks in verse 10, and Elijah calls to her. He says to her one thing and then thinks of another. Elijah calls to her and asks for a drink. Then as she's going to get the water, he adds, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Bring me a piece of bread. In the ancient Middle East, hospitality was a big deal. Big deal. If someone asked for a drink of water, it was rude, even an unspeakable act, to refuse the person a drink. It would be shameful for this woman to deny Elijah the water. So she may be broke, she may be at the end of her rope, but this woman still has her dignity. Amen? Determined to perform this act of hospitality, she heads for the water jar. But to give away her bread, that's another thing altogether. You see, when Elijah speaks up and adds his second request, this poor woman's trapped by traditional responsibility. Even though the request for bread falls under the same social responsibility, Elijah's request is asking for everything, all she had. Who is this woman anyway? Her name is not even mentioned. What we do know about her is that she is a single mother who's trying to make it, but everything appears as if she can't. The woman's trying desperately to take care of her son. However, despite her efforts, it appears futile. She cannot even provide for his basic needs. Now, usually a widow would have a family to take care of her. Many times, a brother would marry a brother's widow to ensure her care. And I wonder, ladies, would that make you extra careful when choosing who you would marry? Amen. Apparently, this poor woman doesn't have anyone. If she dies, no one will notice. And of course, women of that day were on a lower social status. And as a widow, this poor lady had no social standing at all. She is a nobody, a phantom to the neighbors as she quietly comes and goes. She is so much a non-person that we never even learn her name. Literally, a non-entity. At this point in our story, the 3.5-year drought has depleted this woman's resources. Now, folks, please hold out your hand for a moment. What would fit in the palm of your hand is all she had, about 1/3 cup of flour. Please note this widow is not refusing Elijah. She's just pointing out the physical reality that there isn't enough for her, her son, and Elijah. But even though she's a nobody to the rest of the world, even though she literally has nothing, God has plans to use her for great things. Amen? All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes this, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Y'all heard that scripture before. It's something we should put to memory. Do you see what's happening here in our story? Do you understand what God is planning for both the woman and Elijah? May I ask you to consider this. If God operates this way in the lives of those we find in the Holy Scripture, why would you expect God to act differently in your life? If the weakness of this widow makes her strong, if Apostle Paul identified his weakness as making him strong, why is it so hard to believe that the weakness in your life is the very thing that will make you strong? What do you need for God to use you to accomplish powerful things? What do you need for God to use you to accomplish powerful things? A weakness. Why is that? Because when I'm weak, when I cannot do it on my own, when I don't have the resources, that's when I must let God take over. But wait, does this woman who is never even named in the passage, does she have any faith? Verse 12, "So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar, and see, I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." It would appear that any faith that she might have had has been evaporated. Appears it's gone. What remains is despair and utter hopelessness. She has determined to eat and then die. If there's ever was a phrase that spoke of faith, this wasn't it. This wasn't it. Yet this woman ends up with great faith. At this point, does she even know who God is? No doubt this woman is a pagan, living in a land where they worship false gods. She's not a Hebrew. She's not a believer. Is God going to expect a person to act in faith when they have no faith? Well, not so fast. There is a hint. There is a hint, a tiny twinkle of faith. Doesn't the Bible say that God gives everyone a measure of faith? Amen? Verse 12, so she said, as the Lord your God lives. As the Lord your God lives. Sounds like an acknowledgement that there is a God. Amen? Amen? Isn't that a start of faith when you acknowledge that there is a God?
Yes.
Right. Then look at verse 15. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. Hold on. What's happening here? There's a leap took place. This woman just jumped a whole row of hurdles. She acknowledged and then went to obedience. She goes from a teeny tiny faith to a huge leap of faith. She goes from the person with the least amount of faith to the person with the greatest faith in town in a blink of an eye. It's amazing. Elijah asked for the impossible. He asked to be fed first. Won't that take all that she has? You see, in verse 13, it says, and Elijah said to her, do not fear, go do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. He wants her to make the cake, bring it to him, and then go back and make cakes for herself and her son. But there's no dividing the flour into three parts. It's not enough. How can she make Elijah a cake and then change her mind if she sees that there's not enough left over? The woman must give away what she has first. Let me repeat that. The woman has to give away what she has first. So what exactly is she doing? By all natural logic and human reasoning, this single mom is choosing death for herself and her son. But God. But God. But God defies our logic, our sense, our reasoning. We see our faith as holding on when God sees our faith as letting go. I want to repeat that. I want you to get it. Amen. We see our faith as holding on when God sees our faith as letting go. When a friend inquires about how things are going as you are facing a difficult time, have you ever responded, I'm just holding on? What you mean is that you're just holding on to your faith, right? But here, right here, we see just the opposite, letting go. Now, Elijah encourages her. In essence, he speaks the word of God, a powerful word from God. In verse 13, it says, do not fear. Do not fear. Then he says in verse 14, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. Right there. Right there is when something happened inside of this woman. She declares to herself, I'll try it. I'll try it. I'll take this step. It does not make sense. It defies logic. It runs contrary to everything she knows. But with some determination, she turns and walks to her house. This poor woman now has something that she did not have seconds before. A real faith. A real faith. I mean, who in this room could do that? Who here could give up all they had, knowing that it would directly lead to their death and their child's death. I doubt any of us could. But I don't think it was possible for her either, except that God blessed her with the faith to take the first step, and she responded to it. Amen. It is clear that the Holy Spirit had come on her, giving her faith that she needed to take this first step back toward her house. You see, instead of holding on tight to the last thing she had, she let it go. She let it go. Then the Spirit of the Lord came, giving her faith. Faith. It is one thing to say you believe. It is another thing to take action on that belief. So do it. Do it today. What's been holding you back? Some of you here have been pondering the idea of faith for a long time. Is it real? Do I have it? Have I lost it? What does it feel like? Some of you here may be hoping that faith will slowly creep up on you. And all the time you're thinking, I hope it doesn't embarrass me. Do some of you want to know every cotton-picking detail before you take a step? You bet. Do you say to yourself, seeing is believing? You need to check things out first. But this thinking is what's holding you back. You're standing still with the illusion of moving forward. God doesn't ask the poor widow woman to do anything that isn't different than the way she normally lives, does he? God doesn't ask her to build some great church or be a missionary traveling to foreign lands. God doesn't ask her to give up her house to testify to crowds of people. He asked her for a small piece of bread. Granted, it was all she had, but it wasn't something that was beyond her everyday routine. It was what she did. Faith isn't necessarily about huge projects. It's about everyday life. God uses ordinary, everyday, even somewhat boring, been there, done that, ways to build our faith. Yet notice it's a spiritual thing that hits her, not a material thing. The woman had to believe to have some measure of faith before she took action of making the cake of bread. Otherwise, she wouldn't have made it. She wouldn't have made it. So what can take that Mother's Day flower and increase it into an unlimited supply of Mother's Day flour? What takes that Mother's Day oil and extends Mother's Day oil for unlimited days? Not the woman. God. Remember what Paul said? When I'm weak, I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I read about a restaurant that served only breakfast. It was a great breakfast, and it was cheap. Those are the ones I like. What made this breakfast unique was that except for the manager, everything was handled by mentally handicapped folks. They were the cooks, the waiters, the waitresses, the busboy, the hostess, the cashier, and anyone else it takes to run a restaurant. And this place hummed like a machine. It really was some of the best service in town. It was surprising. Why was it surprising? Because most people in our society write these folks off. They're looked upon as those with very limited resources, not capable, unable, below average. We do the same thing to God. We do the very same thing to God. We look at what we do not have, how we do not measure up, and we believe that we are not much for God to work with. The woman in our story chooses to let go, and the blessings come raining down. It's like the loaves and the fishes. Her flour and oil never run out. The handful, the limited inventory, the one thing that was between her and death, she let it go. That one thing, that tiny bit of faith expanded. But there's more to it. I don't think she really believes yet. I mean, it's clear that she believes to some degree, but she doesn't have a convicted belief. So this miracle goes on day after day. The ridiculous amount of flour and oil never run out. Life continues. Not death, but life. The great leap of faith that the woman experienced, that amazing moment, becomes routine. What was once so incredible is now expected. One more cake, one more fire, and then her faith, which was so real, which believed to some degree, slowly goes flat. It's just flour and oil, after all. Now, what do you suppose Elijah is thinking? This place is called a fiery trial, and it has been nothing but endless eating. What in the world is around the corner? Verse 17. Now, it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. I'm sure Elijah said, here's another trial. For this single mother, what good is an endless jar of flour if her son cannot share in that blessing? So she's angry. She's angry. Verse 18, so she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" Initially, this woman had an amazing leap of faith and continued to enjoy the result of that event repeatedly, over and over on a daily basis. Every time she baked her cakes, she was reminded that this was not an illusion. It was something she had deluded herself, or she had deluded herself. It was not something she had deluded herself into believing. It was real. It was a daily miracle. But now the death of her son was just too much. We saw the same thing in the disciples. They walked and talked with Jesus. How many miracles did they see on a daily basis? But yet take away the influence of Jesus, and their faith is gone. Look at verse 19. Elijah takes action. And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Now, why does he take the boy out of the arms of his mother into another room? If you are a mother, you know that Elijah did not take the boy without his mother giving him up. Without her letting him go. It's much like the moment when she turned to go make the cakes of bread. That moment where she let go instead of holding on. Right here, she does it again. She finds herself in weakness, but she doesn't hold on. What does she do? She lets go. Elijah takes her son, lays him on his bed, and then stretches himself over the boy three times. O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. You know the outcome. God hears his cry, God answers his prayer, and the son lives. Talk about a Mother's Day present. Amen. This woman had a leap of faith when the flour and oil wouldn't run out, but this time it was different. I don't think calling it a leap of faith does it justice. It's more of a cementing of faith. Cementing of faith. Earlier, the mother had to believe for flour and oil, but this is unprecedented. Verse 24, then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. Wow. Perhaps in her first test of faith, she suspected that this was real, but clearly she had her doubts. Now with the boy's resurrection so obvious, there is no denying or questioning what had taken place. The woman now knows that the Word of God is real and active. This single mother started off as one who only had a tiny sprinkle of faith. A faith that was only enough to see her through for one more meal. That was pretty much all she had. But you know what? That was enough. That was enough. It was enough faith for God to miraculously, instantly change her world. Have you ever taught a kid how to ride a bicycle? If you have, then you understand how this can relate to this story. First, you hold on to the bike. Then you walk next to the bike. Then you run next to the bike. And the whole time, the kid is hanging onto your arm with supernatural strength. Finally, the moment comes, that split second, when they quit holding on to your arm and they start riding their bike. Can you see some parallel here? To get where we have to, we need to let go. To get where we want to, with God's leading, we need to let go. Stop waiting for the details. Stop holding on to what you have. Stop tightening your grip. Just let go. Since this is Mama's Day, I'm going to put it this way. Ladies, have you been keeping a grip on things? Do you feel like you must hold tight or you'll lose something? Your relationships, your kids, your job, whatever. Of course, you're doing your best to make it all work. You've been trying everything you know to keep it all together. But still, you realize things aren't right. Well, today is the day you decide to let go. Allow your faith to work. You let God do what God does best. God wants you to be blessed, enjoying a life that's full of peace and contentment. He wants to remove any stress and heartache over those things that you have no way of changing. No way of changing. Today, Mother's Day 2019, let your faith be cemented as you watch God raise your situations from the dead. He alone has the power to do it, folks. He alone is the one that can do it. Simply let go, jump into His hands, never experience that again. Start experiencing a new level of faith as you trust Him. This Mother's Day, I want you to take a step into greater faith. Greater faith.
Amen.
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 Amen. I hope you guys picked up on some of that too. I know you're probably sitting there thinking, boy, my wife needs to hear this. I'm going to go home and preach it to Bonnie. Greater faith by letting go. Folks, it's a real time of refreshing when you figure out you can't change it.
That's right.
When you figure it out, it's not your responsibility. When you figure out I beat my head against this wall long enough. Let God do it. Use your faith. Use your faith to believe. You can start by believing. Use your faith to believe you'll find a spot at a restaurant after church. That's a real stretch. Busiest day of the year for restaurants. You might want to order a pizza. Well, let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just give you glory for these ladies, Lord. I remember my mama, how significant she was in my life. Lord, we all have these thoughts. Good or bad, they're significant to us, Lord. They do so much of forming us. Teaching us, beating things into our head, whatever it takes. And I thank you for these special, special ladies. You've anointed them, Lord. And Lord, many people have said that their love is the closest thing to God's love. That we can see, we can experience. The Lord bless you ladies. And Lord, let them use your faith, their faith, as they step out to serve you, as they step out to grow their faith, as they step out to be what their family needs them to be. Lord, use them mightily. And let us all thank them over and over again for their sacrifices for us. Lord, it's a great day to remember.